Do you know what I have done for you? I have given you a model to follow. As I have done for you, you should do for one another. In her book, Spiritual Practices for the Brain, Ann Kurtz-Kurian explains that there has been so much more data science and data gathered around how the brain works. In dozens and dozens of studies involving tens of thousands of different participants with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of data points, they've come to some pretty significant conclusions. One of them is how mindfulness, or what we would call meditation, or mindfulness and meditation, can actually create new neural pathways in the brain, physiologically in the brain, alternative pathways to a flight or fight response that is typical for a brain. Literally driving new responses, that we can literally learn new responses to old stimulus by following mindfulness and meditative practices. That our brains can be, if you would, put it more colloquially, can be rewired based upon how we respond. And she gives a ton of examples of how to do this. Really insightful. A lot of what we have been trying to do over this last several years here about encouraging us to pray and to be mindful and being quiet and learning to not just respond, but to develop new responses. One of the other powerful insights that she brought about how that they've discovered a new neurons that they have named mirror neurons. And what a mirror neuron is that physiologically in the brain, there is a new neurological path developed when you witness something that is of significance to you, that is attractive, that somehow is valuable. Now, that doesn't necessarily make it a good thing, right? So just bear in mind. So that could be a practice that you like, but it actually is bad for you, but you think it's good. But in other words, that when you witness something that is powerful, you tend to want to immediately mirror it. Your brain wires immediately to repeat it. So, an example I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, and breaking this open, I said, if you witness a young person helping an elderly person taking out groceries out of her car and bringing them to the car and taking the cart away, you will typically say, wow, that's really wonderful. There are young people who do these good things. And inside your brain is now rewiring to repeat something like that yourself within the next 24 hours. That you will attempt to mirror that because you witness it. Now, it also happens with bad things, right? Now, I know, here's the thing is that parents have known this. This is new science data that supports what parents have known all along. That children imitate you for good or for bad. Right? You know this, right? You say or do things. Where did you learn to say that? And they go, you. And you go, what? I never have used that word. And you don't realize that you've used that word plenty. Modeling is the key to learning. In other words, if we want our children to learn, we need to model the behavior. And not just talk about the behavior. And that's one of the catches. If you talk about it and don't model it, then there is another thing that happens in the brain. It rewires alternatively. It says that's not to be repeated, interestingly enough. Brain's pretty sophisticated. Now, of course, we're reading ancient texts today that talk about this modeling, and we hear about it, and we do it here each and every Sunday. We repeat what we have been told so that we try to attempt to wire our brain every week to do what we're called to do, which is to serve one another. Now, Jesus understood this and said in a much more powerful way than I am saying it. He just took off his garments and got down on his knees. He didn't give any lecture. He didn't give any data science. He didn't need it. He just simply washed their feet. And he modeled. He modeled for them what he wanted them to do. And he said, to serve one another. You're not coming to be served, but to serve. And he did it for them. Literally got down on his hands and knees. Now, just understand the context here, because we might not understand it. People didn't bathe all that often back then, right? So number one. And they didn't, even though they bathed, their feet, they would have walked on dirt roads, and they would have had open sandals, not shoes, right? Open sandals, and the dust and the dirt would be on their feet. But while they may have bathed, you know, once a month or so, their feet would have had to have been really caked with dust and things. And so to come into the house, bear in mind, they would be, when they sit at a table, they were typically lying down at a table, and their feet would be next to each other, so you would basically wash their feet. But there was a rule. Because it was such a menial task, only the lowest servant in the house would wash feet. Not just any servant, the lowest servant. And if there was no servants, then it was the children. And if there was no children, then it was the woman. And if there was no woman, then you washed it yourself. The man never washed, ever washed another person's feet. So now you understand how countercultural this comes along. And Jesus gets down. And now you understand why Peter goes, you are not going to wash my feet. How? You are my master and you are my Lord. You are my rabbi. No. You can't do this. You're shaming everything. You're breaking all the rules. And Jesus does what he always does. You don't understand. You don't understand what I'm doing. You will later, but you don't understand. If I can't wash you, you can't be my inheritance. You can't be part of me. This is what I need to do. You need to understand everything's going to turn upside down. What I'm giving you is a model. I want you to serve. I want you to be the lowest on the podium, the servant of the servants. And that's what we're called to do. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Not because it's comfortable, not because it looks good, but because we're called to do it by Christ. Now, we're going to do it for each other, but I want us to do a couple of things here while we're doing this, is to remind ourselves why we're doing this, because Christ asked us to do this, number one. Number two is we need to understand that we are modeling this for others. And it can't be just here at this table tonight. It can't be just to show that we wash feet. When we're washing our feet, we need to, inside our minds, we are trying to rewire our own brains to say, this is what I need to do outside of here. This is what I need to do for my children at home. And if you are children, young people, this is what you need to do for your parents. You need to serve your parents, not let them always serve you. Help them in the house. Do your part around the house. Whatever it be, a little thing of taking out the trash or doing dishes or folding bed linens, or do something. Just don't do nothing. And for all of us, we need to find a way to serve others. It can't be just in the comfortable confines of our house. Yes, do I want you to, children, to serve your parents and spouses, in particular men, to do some share of the work in the house, make it equal? But also to find a way to serve other people, maybe the people whom we least like, those who we find a grind on us, that we do something for them, that takes us into that zone where Jesus took Peter, the uncomfortable zone, to feel that, no, I cannot do this, then that is the one you must do. For all of us, that's going to be slightly different. For some of us, it's going to be the LGBT community, which we do not agree with, we don't find. Well, then you need to find a way to serve them. And for others of us, it might be the immigrants and those who are coming across the borders. Then we need to find a way to reach out
and to serve them. Why? Because that's our rub. It's deeply uncomfortable. And if it's the divorce or I'm remarried, then we need to find a way to welcome those whom we disagree with, that they should have stayed in their marriage and we think they should have, even though we know nothing about their lives. It's deeply uncomfortable. Then that's where we need to go. I don't know what that is for you. Well, whatever is making you uncomfortable is where you're standing with Peter. And it's uncomfortable for a reason, because Jesus wants you to go there to serve those who you don't feel comfortable serving. So today, I'm going to, in a few minutes, invite you forward. I want you to think about that as you wait in line. Think about them as you have your feet washed. Think about them as you wash somebody's other's feet. And ask yourself, how do I take this step? How do I take that step of serving others and opening myself to be served? Because that may be even harder for some of us, is allowing others to serve us. That's the other part of the brain working, is that when we serve somebody, we feel really good. That's a really powerful new way to our brain gets wired for happiness and joy, is that when we help somebody and when we allow them to help us. When we allow them to help us, we are also rewiring our brain for the goodness and for empathy and for kindness. So we follow what Jesus says, follow the model that he has given us to do for one another as he has done for us, to come wash each other's feet.